Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And this chapter describes about Bhava. And first I'll read the poem, and then I will read the chapter also, the translation of the chapter. Yesterday we did up to Ashakti. The gradual development has been described as Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anasamibriti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Ashakti. So yesterday we did up to Ashakti. Should I read the points of Ashakti once again? When the taste for bhajan reaches extreme depth and Krishna becomes the very object of one's devotional activities, that is called ashakti or attachment. At the stage of ashakti, the fruit of bhakti bears clusters of buds. These buds will in no time become flowers at the stage of bhava and in fruit at the stage of prema. Ashakti polishes the mirror of the heart to such a condition that the Lord may suddenly be visible there. Before the stage of Ashakti, the devotee, after realizing that his mind has been overpowered by material objects and desires, by his deliberate efforts, withdraws his mind and fixes it on the Lord's name, form, qualities, and activities. In the stage of Ashakti, however, absorption of the mind in the Lord is automatic without effort. At the stage of Ashakti, one spontaneously withdraws his mind from material topics and absorbs it in topics of the Lord. He will display extreme eagerness to associate with devotees of Krishna and hear about Krishna. Seeing his condition, his friends will apologize. Quote, he was all right before, but now his intelligence has become covered. Unquote. His unacquainted neighbors will conclude that he is an idiot by birth. The followers of the Vedic ritual will consider him stupid. The adherents of impersonal Brahman will consider him disillusioned. The failure of five activities will say, he is fallen. The devotees will say, he has acquired a great fortune. And the offenders will say, he is pretending. But the devotee, far from considerations of respect and disrespect, having fallen into the current of the great celestial river of attachment to the Lord, will simply continue in the same manner. So this is a summary of Ashakti. Then we'll go to the next stage, Rati or Bhav. Another name of Bhava is Rati. Bhava, as I mentioned earlier, literally means, what is the meaning of Bhava? Spiritual emotion. When Ashakti achieves full maturity in its it is called Rati or Bhava. Bhava is the immature stage of the three energies, Sat, Chit and Ananda. So it is the immature stage of spiritual situation. Our spiritual situation is Satchidanandama, eternity, knowledge and bliss. And it is in an immature stage where the emotions just begin to develop. Like, just as the flower is the immature stage of the fruit. So the fruit is there in the flower, but in an undeveloped stage. Then gradually, from the flower, the fruit will develop. Similarly, from bhava, praying will develop. It is also the blossoming flower of the pitta of bhakti. Its outer luster is the quality of sudurlabha, rarity, and its inner luster is moksha labhuta krit, taking liberation as insignificant. So, Srila Rupa Goswami mentioned six aspects of devotional service. The six results of devotional service. What are those six results? The first one is Kleshagni, then second is Shubhada, then third is here. Sudhulabha is very rare. In the previous chapters we have discussed how as the devotional kripa develops, it develops with two leaves, and those two leaves of the seedling of devotional kripa are one is Kleshagni and the other is Sudhulabha. One is freedom from suffering and Shubhada, all auspicious. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes free from Klesha. He becomes free from all material misery. And he receives all auspiciousness. So that is the two beginning aspects of the initial results of devotional service. And then, with the further development, when it comes to the stage of bhava, then it develops two other aspects. And what are those two other aspects? Sudhulabha and moksha lokita krit. And at the stage of bhava, one realizes that devotional service is very rare. Sudhulabha. Shu means very, and do love means rare. Krishna consciousness is very, very rare. Devotional service is very, very rare. Sudhulabha and moksha lobhuta krit. Moksha means liberation. Lobhuta means makes it insignificant. Krit means it makes it. So, Krishna consciousness makes liberation appear to be like absolutely irrelevant or insignificant. Why? Because at that stage, at the stage of bhava, one is situated at a platform above liberation. That's why liberation becomes insignificant to him. Like as it's mentioned, at the immature stage of Satchidananda. So Satchidananda means spiritual sky. So one is almost in the spiritual sky at the stage of bhava. Now that stage is beyond the stage of liberation. Therefore, moksha becomes irrelevant. Devotee doesn't care about liberation. Moreover, by the profuse release of its fragrances, the flower of bhava invites Madhusudana and makes him appear there. The bhava, the flower of bhava, the presence of the flower of bhava attracts Madhusudana, Krishna. Like when one comes to this, when one attains the stage of bhava, then Krishna becomes attracted towards him. Like we have discussed before, the how devotion is actually that will become fully manifest at the latest stage of prema. But how devotional service actually attracts even Krishna. Now, what are the two other aspects of devotional service, or two other results of devotional service? We cover four out of six. And what are the two more? Yeah. Right. In Sanskrit, they're called one is Chandrananda Visheshatma. Chandrananda Visheshatma and Krishna Parshanisha. Chandrananda Ananda, Shandrananda Visheshatma. Devotional service is the source of transcendental bliss. And that brings you experience of the state of prema. Shandrananda Visheshatma and Krishna Karshanija. It attracts even Krishna. So in this way the six things are Kleshagni, Shudeva, Shudivaha, Moksha Yogitakri, Shandrananda Visheshatma and Krishna Karshanija. So here you can see that the fragrance of the flower of Bhava is so beautiful, so fragrant, that even Krishna becomes attractive. Madhusudan becomes attractive and makes him appear there. In the state of Bhava, centered by those fragrances, all the emotions of the heart, like clusters of sesame seeds, liquefy into perfumed oil and become immediately fit to smear on all the limbs of the Lord. It's very poetic the way Vishnu Chakravarti is describing that. That the emotions of bhava, the fragrance, the emotions of the heart, like clusters of sesame seed. As I mentioned earlier, that bhava literally means emotion. And these emotions are exclusively meant for Krishna. There is a difference between material emotion and spiritual bhava. So material emotion is for some material objects or material persons. But when that is offered to Krishna, then it is spiritual bhava. So that bhava has been compared to, these emotions have been compared to clusters of sesame seed. And then this seed liquefies into perfumed oil. Just as by, from the seeds, sesame seeds, the sesame oil is extracted from the bhava, the transcendental emotion, intense feelings for Krishna is extracted in, and then that oil is smeared in the body of Krishna. At the appearance of bhava, even the chandala becomes worthy of the respect that is due to Lord Brahma. So at the stage of bhava, even the chandala becomes respected like Lord Brahma. So that is the glory of devotional service. Chandala ki vijashrishtha, hari bhakti parayana. If a chandala even becomes a devotee, then he becomes superior to a Brahman. He becomes greater than a Brahman. Chandala ki vijashrishtha. His intelligence in the states of wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep determines to fix itself without deviation on the path of remembrance of Krishna. At this stage, the devotee begins to experience extreme possessiveness of Krishna. Like a bee, he becomes anxious to indulge in the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Just a bumblebee becomes attracted to the lotus flower, and nothing can actually stop the bee. Nothing, it becomes completely intoxicated by the fragrance of the lotus flower. Similarly, a devotee at that time becomes completely intoxicated by Krishna consciousness. So nothing can stop him. So that is how intense the feeling becomes at the stage of bhava. Having obtained the most precious jewel of bhava, the devotee, like a miser, hides it from the ordinary people. And this is a very important point. Like some pretenders, the sahajiyas, they display their emotions in public in order to get name and fame. Like especially in India, especially in Bengal. Like they do all kinds of things. Like they rub some ginger in their fingertips, and then tap their eye with their fingers, and tears will start coming from their eyes. And people will think, oh, he has attained bhava. Or they'll start to tremble, they'll start to, they'll faint, they'll roll on the ground. There'll be all kinds of things. But here, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur is pointing out that at the stage of bhava, a devotee, like a miser, just as a miser hides his wealth from people, so that he doesn't let anyone know what great possession he has. A devotee hides his feelings from others. Therefore, it's not that at an advanced stage a devotee will start to display all these things, all these symptoms. No. On the other hand, at an advanced stage, a devotee will hide his feeling. Actually, in Vrindavan, in the Vihareshtha Goshti, one devotee actually questioned whether, actually that morning I gave a class on Narottam Das Thakur, and I was explaining the kind of ecstatic symptoms that Narottam Das Thakur was displaying after he became a devotee, after he received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So continuing from that, one devotee asked me during the Rishta Goshti whether in ISKCON people will at a certain point in time in ISKCON devotees will start to show these symptoms. And obviously the answer was no. Because Srila Prabhupada did not display, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not display. Because main purpose of actually is that it's not that an ISKCON devotee won't come to the Uttamadhika platform, but even if they come to the Uttamadhika platform, they will come down to the Madhyamadhika platform in order to preach. Because ISKCON is a preaching mission, and the devotees in ISKCON will situate themselves in the, a preacher is situated in Madhyamadhika platform. So even though he may be on the Uttamadhika platform, but he'll come down to the Madhyamadhika platform in order to preach, just as Srila Prabhupada did, just as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. And it is not that, that from time to time they did not experience these ecstatic symptoms, but they did not display it. And sometimes it became uncontrollable, but although devotees could see that Prabhupada was experiencing ecstasy, but very quickly Prabhupada checked his ecstasy. And I heard once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a class, and he was talking about Krishna, and he experienced such intense emotion for Krishna that he could not, he actually just got out quickly, got up from his seat and ran into his room, and he locked himself up. And his close associates became concerned and went to his room and found that his room was locked from inside, but they could hear him sobbing. They could hear him crying from inside the room. So the emotion became so intense that he couldn't check it. But at the same time, he didn't want to display it in public. He just went into his room and locked himself up. So, and here also we are seeing the confirmation of that. That a devotee does not display his ecstatic emotions or his transcendental emotions in public. As you become the residence of renunciation, tolerance and the other wonderful qualities which manifest themselves at the stage of bhava, advanced devotee will understand his internal status by those external symptoms. But others who see his distracted mind will conclude that he is mad. So less intelligent people are people, those who are not acquainted with the science of devotion, will not be able to recognize the advanced position of this devotee. Instead, they will think him to be mad. And regarding that also, an example has been given that just as sunrise and sunset apparently appears to be alike, although they are diametrically opposed, similarly, a person in transcendental consciousness and a person in a person who is mentally deranged apparently appears to be alike, but they are actually diametrically opposed. So a devotee at that stage appears to be like a madman. And actually this is also called madness, but it's called jivva unmadana, a transcendental madness. One becomes mad after Krishna. Whereas in material platform, one becomes mad because he can't relate his, he can't correlate his thoughts. Now bhava is of two types. There are two types of bhava, arising from raga bhakti and arising from vaidhi bhakti. Previously, we discussed there two stages of sadhana bhakti. What are those two stages? Vaidhi bhakti and raga bhakti, raganuga bhakti. So bhava also arises from two stages of bhakti. Vaidhi and raga. The first type of bhava arising from raganuga bhakti, being greater in strength and natural feeling, with the predominance of the feeling that the Lord is on an equal level, and a distaste for seeing the Lord as the Almighty Master is very thick or intense. The second type, arising from Vaidhi Bhakti, being somewhat lesser in strength and natural in feeling, lesser in strength and natural feeling. It's lesser in strength and natural feeling. The feeling is not so intense. With the type of pervasiveness of the Lord mixed with perfection of the Lord as the Almighty God is not so condensed. These two types of bhava are tested in two different ways in the two types of hearts possessed by two types of spiritual desires in two types of devotees. And there are two types of devotees, Vaidhi bhaktas and Raganuga bhaktas. Now, anyway, I'll just read it and then we'll... There are five types of devotees: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhur. Bhava, by its own energy, causes the appearance of Vibhav, Anibhav, Vyabhichari. The dominating mood from these elements is called Sthayi Bhav, which by mixing with the elements produces Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya and Ujjala rushes. Now, let's go back to this point, Radha Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti. Why there are two different feelings experienced by the devotees in the stage of bhava according to their attachment of practice, attachment of sadhana? Mainly because of their understanding of Krishna. Like in Vaidhi Bhakti, Krishna is understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his opulence, which is known as Aisharya. And because of that Aisharya, the opulence, one develops some sort of awe and reverence. And that awe and reverence will also affect his state of bhava. And these devotees following the Vaidya Bhakti, their destiny is Vaikuntha. Whereas those who are in the practicing as followers of Radha Bhakti, their destiny is Vrindavan. That is the difference which has been elaborately explained. But that of course doesn't mean that one should try to jump into Radha. One will follow the process of Vaidhi, but because of his disciplic succession, because of the teaching of his spiritual master, he will understand Krishna in a certain way. Like for example, in our line, we are not so much concerned about Krishna in Vaikuntha. Our Krishna is Krishna of Vrindavan. That is the unique aspect of our parampara. That is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aradhya Bhagavan, Vrajeshwatanaya. Aradhya Bhagavan, Vrajeshwatanaya. Our worship of the Lord is the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Stabham Vrindavanam. Ramma Kachi Dutashana. Vrajavadhu Vargena Jatulpita. And the best way to worship him is in the mood with which, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, the damsels of Vrindavan. Vrajavadhu Vargena Jatulpita. So that is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. Therefore, the destination of Mahaprabhu's followers, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes a point here. He says, those who are the followers of Vishnu, they are known as Vaishnavas. Those who are worshippers of Krishna, they are known as Kashnas. And those who are the followers of Srimati Radharani, they are known as Gauriyas. So Gauriya Vaishnava means the followers of Srimati Radharani. Dhamyana Swarup Sfurida Mayane Kholva Radhara Dashi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying. The women, the actual identity of the Dham will become revealed unto me, and I will be able to become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. Dhamera Swarup Sfurida Mayane Kholva Radhara Dashi. So Radha Dasya is the mood of the Gauriya Vaishnavas. Madhyamatma Pada Padma Dasya Dasya Radhika. O Srimati Radharani, please give me the servitorship to your lotus feet. And when we want to serve Srimati Radharani, then automatically we become engaged in serving the lotus feet of Krishna. So, let me see. 20 minutes, maybe. Should I read the chapter of Bhava? Shower of nectar. When Ashakti achieves full maturity, it is called Vrti or Bhava. Bhava is the immature state of the three energies of Satchit Ananda, which I read before. It is also the blossoming flower of the creeper of Bhakti. Its outer laughter is the quality of Sudhulava, and its inner laughter is Moksha Lokuta Krit. Anyway, this verse I have read. His intelligence in the state of wakefulness, sleep and deep sleep determines to fix itself without deviation on the path of remembrance of Krishna. So at the stage of bhava, he never forgets Krishna. Not only during his wakeful state he remembers Krishna, but even in his dream he remembers Krishna. And what to speak of remembering Krishna in his dream, even in his deep sleep, in a dreamless sleep, he remembers Krishna. Actually, we have three stages of consciousness. Jagaran, Shapna, and Sushupti. Jagaran is a wakeful state, Shapna is a dream state, and Sushupti is dreamless sleep state. Jagaran means our gross bodily consciousness. Dream is our subtle bodily consciousness. And when we are unconscious of both gross and subtle, that is the state of deep sleep. So in that sense, at the stage of deep sleep, we come actually very close to our spirit soul. Because at that time we are free from the awareness or consciousness of gross and subtle bodies. Therefore, it is so important to sleep, to have a dreamless sleep. Because we are always so much troubled by the gross and subtle bodies' demands. Now it's actually the spirit soul is carrying the burden of the subtle body and the gross body. Now to be relieved of the burden, to become free from the weight of the burden of these two bodies, is a great relief for the spirit soul. Therefore everybody needs sleep. People will go mad if they can't sleep. If one cannot forget this great burden, one will go mad. And in this way, and when you become unconscious, completely unconscious in deep sleep, that is the time we actually experience real rest. And that shows that, I mean, that the desire that everyone has, like everyone's desire to sleep well, is actually indicative of our desire to become free from the bondage of this material attachment. No one wants to be attached to this material nature. No one actually wants to carry the load of the gross and subtle body. It's only due to illusion we are carrying this burden, but actually we don't want to. And that's why we all want to sleep. Everybody likes to sleep. Everybody wants to take rest on the material platform. But beyond that platform, there is another stage of consciousness where the spirit soul is aware of Krishna. And that stage, and bhava is at that stage, like in a Krishna conscious stage. He is no more in the material nature, although the material, although apparently he is functioning on the material platform, but he is actually relating to this material nature from that plane of consciousness, from spiritual consciousness. And then, therefore, when he is awake, he is remembering Krishna. When he is dreaming, he is remembering Krishna. And even in his deep sleep, he is remembering Krishna. So that actually means that his spirit soul is always conscious of Krishna. At the time of attaining his spiritual body, suitable for performing his eternal service, the indestructible soul enters the body, and the material body becomes almost lifeless. At this stage, the devotee begins to experience extreme pervasiveness of Krishna. Like a bee, he becomes anxious to indulge in the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Having obtained the most precious jewel of bhava, the devotee, like a miser, hides it from the ordinary people. As he becomes the resident of renunciation, tolerance, and other wonderful qualities which manifest themselves at the stage of bhava, advanced devotees will understand his internal status by those external symptoms, but others who see his distracted mind will conclude that he is mad. This stage of bhava is of two types, arising from Ravan Bhakti and that arising from Vaidhi Bhakti. The first type of bhava arising from Ravanuga Bhakti, being greater in a strength and natural feeling, with the predominance of the feeling that the Lord is on an equal level, and a distaste for seeing the Lord as the Almighty Master, is very thick or intense. The second type, arising from Vaidhi Bhakti, being somewhat lesser in strength and natural feeling, with a type of possessiveness of the Lord mixed with the perfection of the Lord as the Almighty God, is not so condensed. Those two types of bhava are tested in two different ways in the two types of hearts, possessed of two types of spiritual desires in two types of devotees. Anyway, there's some elaboration of the different works, but I'll just read that. This bhava is tested in different degrees of sweetness, as in various degrees of condensation of mango, jackfruit, sugarcane, or grape juice. There are five types of devotees: those acting as shantas, dasas, servants, shakhis, friends, pitri, elders, prayashi, lovers, acting in the moods of shanta, dasya, shakra, vatsalya, and priyata. Bhava, by its own energy, causes the appearance of vibhav, anubhav, dhavichari. The dominating mood or king generated from this element is called thai bhava. The predominating bhav, the predominating mellow in the devotee is called thai bhava. Like one of these five bhavas becomes the thai bhava of a devotee at that stage, which by mixing with the elements produce a shanta, dasya, shakha, vatsala, and ujjala rasa. The Sutis text define rasa as the very essence of the Lord, rasa raisa, just as water is present in all the streams, rivers, and ponds, but is water personified in the ocean, though this rasa is present in all the avatars of the Lord and touches perfection each of them. It attains its absolute climax in the son of the king of Braja, Sri Krishna. Rasa, Krishna himself, which appears at the first stage of maturity, bhava, and becomes fully substantiated in the stage of prema, is directly experienced by such a qualified devotee. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. There's only one relationship that is Master and Son. And in Krishna Dasa, there's five types of relationships. That's the Krishna's dual genius. We have established only one relationship with Krishna as Master and Son. So, does it mean that we have to establish the five relationships with Krishna as the Guru Guru Guru?
First of all, in Vaikuntha, although predominating mood is Dasya, but to some extent Shanta also is present. Shanta can also be present. So Shanta and Asya are present in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, mainly three mellows are present. Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhura. The predominating mellow there is actually Madhura, conjugal. Where at apparently sometimes appears to be Shanta and Dasya is not actually Shanta and Dasya in Vrindavan. They are either Sakya or Vatsalya. For example, the trees in Vrindavan are not in Shanta Rasa. They can be either of the three mellows. Right? They can be in Sakya, they can be in Vatsalya, they can be in Madhura. Like the trees are bearing fruits out of their parental affection for Krishna. Just as a mother wants to feed her child, the trees in Vrindavan, like a mother, wants to feed Krishna because so they produce fruits. Jamuna in Vrindavan is not Shanta Ras. The rivers in Vrindavan, like Jamuna, is not in Shanta Ras. And Jamuna is in Shankar Ras. Jamuna is like a friend of Krishna in Vrindavan. Like that. So there are the predominating mellows in Vrindavan are actually Shakra, Vatsalya and Madhura. Now, you know, as you are asking, that we devotees are serving Krishna in a mellow of servitorship, dasya. Yeah, because we are starting from the lowest rung. But whatever our actual mellow is, in due course of time, will be situated there. But you are starting with the, when you are climbing up the stairs, your apartment may be on the fifth floor, right? But you have to climb the stairs from the ground floor, right? Of course, if you are a monkey, you can jump. But for an ordinary person, for a normal course, in a normal course, one has to climb from the bottom. So therefore, everyone starts from Dasya. From Dasya to Shakya. And from Shakya it can go in two ways. And from Shakya it can go to Vatsalya, or it can go into Madhurya. Like auspicious friends, some friends are tending towards parental, like Balaram. He's like Krishna's friend, but at the same time Balaram is Krishna's older brother. Therefore his attitude is somewhat like that of a father towards Krishna. Right? So that is tending towards Vatsalya. Whereas there is Sudal and Sridham, their tendency is more towards Kanjuga. And so in this way, the different levels have been determined, or different one, an individual becomes situated in his eternal level, eternal relationship with Krishna. Although we are practicing from Vaidhi platform, but you can see that our teachings, like say, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, they are actually leading us to recognize Krishna more as a friend or lover or... Like for example, you see, in the temple, we are following Vaidhi Mata. But actually our basis, the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teaching, his books, are actually giving us a very definite direction about our relationship with Krishna. So, although we are practicing Vedic worship for our own discipline, in order to discipline ourselves and in order to teach others through our own example, the internal development will take towards the Vedic worship. But that should be done artificially. Bandhanam, they are just in order to support Shravanam and Kirtanam. And Shravanam and Kirtanam means preaching. Kirtan means preaching. Right? So, our worship, temple worship, worshiping the deities in the temple and Shunda and all that we are doing is actually for preaching. Right? Now, it's not that we are preaching for temple deity worship. But we are worshiping the deities in the temple for the sake of our preaching. The main principle actually is preaching. Right? And this preaching is actually Raga Bhakti. Preaching is Raga Bhakti. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he built a big temple in Calcutta, prior to that he was actually, his temple was in a small building. In North Calcutta, where Prabhupada actually met him. And he stayed in that building for many years. Then one of his disciples, very wealthy disciple, built a temple, which is in Calcutta still now, in Bagh Bazar. And when he was carrying the deities into that big temple, he was singing one song. That song is, Pujalo Ragatatho Bolgado Bhange Mātalo Shādhu Jāma Vishvaya Rāngi, which means the Shādhu Pūjāla Rāgatātha Gaurava Bhāngi. Gaurava means awe and reverence. The awe and reverence has been, given up. As the transcend in the process of awe and reverence, we have accepted the process of Raga, spontaneous attraction to the Lord. And Mātala Sādhu Jāna Dīśhaya Rāngi. And the Sādhu has become involved in materialistic activities. Dīśhaya Rāngi. But this Dīśhaya, this material activity is not actually material activities. They are Krishna conscious activities, but apparently it seems to be like materialistic activities. Like the sadhu is building these big temples, living in big houses, driving cars, flying aeroplanes. So that is the difference between Vaidhi and Rag. So in our mind, the worship of Vaidhi and whatever Prabhupada taught us or whatever Prabhupada introduced in ISKCON is actually meant for preaching. And preaching is actually Raga. Is it clear? Any question here? Yeah. Is it Uncle Jenna? In order to recognize that, we have to consider the definition of madhyam and definition of uttam. The difference between uttam, madhyam and uttam is, in the uttamadhika platform, one doesn't actually make any discrimination. Whereas in madhyamadhika, the discrimination is there. And the discrimination is, ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dvishatsucha prema maitri kripa upekha japarati sammatham. Like, he makes a discrimination between Krishna and devotee, innocent and offended. And for Krishna he has love, for devotees he has friendship, for innocent he has compassion, and for offenders he has disregard. So in order to preach, he will have to make the discrimination. Like he has to see, you know, who should preach, who should we preach? Yeah, the innocent people. And who should we develop our friendship with, or how does the devotee feel towards another devotee? Friendship, because they have a common interest. And the common interest is the love of Krishna. And the offenders, they just avoid, because it's a waste of time, bad news. Those guys, you know, don't waste your time with them. So, madhyamadhika platform one makes the discrimination, but in the uttamadhika platform, one doesn't make the discrimination. You see, he sees sarva bhuteshu japashet bhagavad bhavamatmanam. He sees that in everything, he sees Krishna. And Krishna, he sees everything as a part and parcel of Krishna. And he sees how everyone is engaged in Krishna's service. So that is the pure transcendental vision. Like he is saying that everything is actually happening by Krishna's divine arrangement. Right? And everyone is acting as if everyone is acting in Krishna consciousness, in his eyes. Right? Because he's seeing it from a spiritual perspective. Right? Now from that platform, one cannot possibly preach. Because how can he preach when another thing is that at that platform, he sees everybody else to be engaged in serving Krishna. Only he himself could not become a devotee. He sees that everybody else is a devotee. Only he himself couldn't become a devotee. So, he doesn't see that. He sees even a demon in his eyes is a devotee. So, I mean, that's his vision. To substantiate this point, you can quote Prabhupada Saraswati. He is saying, Vanchitoshmi, Vanchitoshmi, Vanchitoshmi Nashamshaya, Vishya Gaura Rashimamnam, Sparshamati Nahamnam Bhavit. I have been deprived. The whole world has been inundated with the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only I could not even get a touch of it. So this is the mood of Uttamadhika devotee. So when he is in that state of consciousness, how can he preach? When he sees that everybody else is a devotee, only he himself could become a devotee, how could he possibly preach? Therefore, from that platform, he deliberately comes down to the Madhyamadhika platform. And you see, like, one actually feels this way because of his transcendental emotion, transcendental feeling that he discussed this now, bhava. So he actually pushes the bhava aside, those emotions aside. He says, okay, I don't have any time for that now. Let me just come down to this very solid ground of material nature and still try to preach. And pure devotees, uttamadhika devotees like Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda, they actually came down to that platform of madhyamadhika in order to preach. Because otherwise the world would have gone to hell.
Yeah, no, see, it's not their vision, but at the same time, they are not in ignorance. They know ultimately what is one. So they are seeing that from the Uttamadhika, if they allow themselves to be affected by the Uttamadhika platform, or Uttamadhika mood, then they cannot see. But they come down in order to help the living entities, those who are suffering in the material nature. Another point, actually it's a very good point that you made. Why? Because their vision is not, their vision is not, but the Krishna person to come down. So according to the instruction of Krishna or the instruction of spiritual master, they come down to that place. Actually, theoretically, it can change, and there are instances when it happens. But it doesn't really matter. You see, when we do not know what Arasavit actually is, what difference does it make actually? You know, we do not really know whether we are in Shanta, Dasya, Sakha, Vatsala, Madhur. So where the question of change comes now, you know, like ultimately by Krishna's mercy someday if we can come to that platform, then we'll see it ourselves. But there are two points have been made in this respect. One point is that if we consider that Krishna is all powerful, right, then Krishna can do anything. Right, this is one point in this respect. So if Krishna wants, Krishna can change the mellow of a living entity. This is one consideration. Another consideration is that sometimes Krishna's devotees may appeal to Krishna or the group leader of that person and take him from one group to another group. You understand the point? Like say, someone actually is in Sakharas. Right? Now, somebody from Madhuri platform, you know, wants to take an individual from his group to her group. So she can approach and tell him, well, why don't you give this candidate from your group to me? No, I think not good. Gaudiya Vaishnava mood, especially the Rupanuga Vaishnava, are in Madhur.
So the question arose then, if this movement is preaching the science, does that mean that everybody who joins the contact with this movement has a shiruk of that nature? And all those who are like Vaikuntha Rati, they
preach. Actually, in Mahaprabhu's Navadvip pastimes, even the Vaikuntha Vasus have been promoted to Navadvip. Navadvip is even higher than Vaikuntha. So those who are in Vaikuntha, they also have come to Mahaprabhu's Navadvip pastimes. For example, Murali Gupta is a devotee of Ramchandra. He is participating in Mahaprabhu's Navadvip pastime. Lakshmi Devi could not enter into Vrindavan pastime, but she got entrance to Navadvip pastime. So Mahaprabhu is very generous and he is allowing everybody to come. And this mood is a very unique mood. This is a mood of distribution. So whoever wants, you know, can take the mercy and You know, take them, because Mahaprabhu in a magnanimous mood opened the door to anyone and everyone. So anybody and everybody can come. And whoever comes also develops the same mood of magnanimity. And with this mood of magnanimity he is distributing. Right? And while you are distributing, then you are automatically progressing. Right? Yeah. So this way it actually is pointed out, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually pointed out that that in his pastimes even the Rambhaktas or Narayan Bhaktas also have their role. Not that only the Vrindavan Krishna's bhaktas will have entry. No, anybody. Nishinga bhaktas, Ram bhaktas, so all have their entry in Mahaprabhu Navadvipa. Okay, no, Ram bhakta doesn't matter, but you can be here, sir. Eventually, so, and also Mahaprabhu pointed out that even if you reject Ramchandra in order to come to this Sankirtan movement. So in this way, this Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to encompass and engross and unify the whole world. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually made a prediction in 1898 or even earlier. Do you know Martin Palmer from Manchester? Rancho's friend? Martin Palmer is the chairman of a big Christian organization. And so Rancho and I were working on a book for Martin Palmer. So, and one day when we were in his house, Rancho actually pulled out a book. And this book is about the religious people from India, different religious people from India, written by an Englishman in 1902. The book was published in 1902. And this book is speaking about one Mr. Kedarnath Dutt, a deputy magistrate, who is an ardent follower of Chaitanya. And he has a strong conviction that one day this cult of Chaitanya will spread all over the world and all the religions of the world will come under the banner, come under the umbrella of Chaitanya's cult and become one. So in 1902, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was speaking with such conviction.